consent calendar. I have one question about the Microsoft license.
Sure, yes, that depends on the question.
Or maybe they, just at the end it said that it was, oh, the renewal is already in the current budget. So if that's in the budget, do you still have to approve it again? Which did we approve the proposed budget?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
Okay.
Because every purchase we made theoretically is in the budget.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere a certain threshold, you may be through it.
Okay. I guess when I saw it working there.
Zane, isn't that $30,000?
$57,000.
No, that's a board, anything 30 or over.
I just have a question, quick question, Jessica. A lot of turnover this year. My thought is that teacher shortage kind of plays into that, because if they want to go somewhere else or if they want to relocate geographically, they can go anywhere they want.
Yeah, and as of right now, even yesterday we had a teacher resign. So back to school night and elementary tonight. And it is, there's lots of openings. Districts right now, we're just moving the same people around. So there's a domino between all the districts that just isn't stopping.
Yeah, so we just got pay raise, right? And you said it should sort of stop the amount of resignations that have come in. Have you seen a difference since then? Because it still looks like there are a lot of people that left.
Yeah, so we had a slowdown. So we had a huge, when the other districts announced, then we spiked, which in the past years we hadn't seen that big spike. So that spike happened and we were losing them. Then we raised ours. So then it slowed back down to about a normal, hey, my husband's moving. We're going to relocate. Not going to come back after having a baby. We saw those normal pieces throughout the summer. And now right before school starting, then districts are, we have some charters that are paying the, and waiving the fines. So they're paying the district the $750 fine just because of people now are moving. And so we're seeing a whole bunch now this week.
Okay.
And I called another HR director and said, how are we going to slow this down? Like, we've got to not keep pulling from each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're in the same boat, but we have to fill our spots. And
My kids attend the school in Weaver County, and we just got a message that they're shuffling things around. They have positions unfilled.
Oh, wow.
They're looking for a second grade DLI. They're looking for
That's not an isolated.
I think it's statewide nationwide.
Yeah, we
have
our
first grade position.
Knows what it is. So, any other questions on consent calendar items? So, JM and Ken, Sarah, and almost everybody in here, they were part of this school success plan that. Nancy found out yesterday that I bailed halfway through one.
Even the Diet Coke expired.
I got new ones.
Something from this year.
Yes.
So I don't know. I was thinking maybe, Jan, we would have you just speak about it a little, just because it is such Ovation is new that Casey has worked on it. Give a little bit of history.
Great. We'll be glad to do that. And hot off the press, because Ovation is so new, some of the items just got fixed just about 10 minutes, so we could print a sample for you. And so then I printed a couple other documents, so I can give that to you as a packet, and I will get that to you electronically for all of your records. But that we can just quickly refer you to them. Yes. It's not to discuss the item.
Right.
It's right. Just so you can have an example, like when Nancy and Joyce were with us doing the review, there's a sample school rubric there so you can see mm-hmm. what
I
we did.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we have one for the expenditures, and then we did add, Casey did a fabulous job, because asking you for approval, we wanted you to feel comfortable with the money amount, mm-hmm. so he quickly pulled out everything from Ovation and all the expenditures, mm-hmm. and listed every single expenditure by school, so then you'll have that in your packet, so as you approve that, you feel comfortable enough that you can go back and look at anything that was in there. But the whole team has reviewed it just several hours and lots of days.
Before I bailed on the meeting. I felt very confident because
yes.
of the caliber of people that were on.
Well, and
meeting.
I just marvel at the work you put in.
Yeah.
And the community council. Yeah.
Well, and the biggest part of it is that we have to give a huge shout out and kudos to all of our site leaders and their leadership teams and their community councils. This has been the first time that we've gone back with feedback multiple times, worked together to refine and have the most effective plan in place so they can hit the ground running Monday morning. And some of them have hit the ground running already with it. A lot of it has already taken place of their action steps. So.
Which is far above earlier than I said.
Yes. Yeah.
So we are really in a good place with how each school is planning to be successful, the strategies they're going to use, and the progress monitoring, for lack of a better term, to see how well they're doing along the way. And to that point, Pam, do you want to talk a little bit about how we've been able to align the school plans with Nexus Elevated and the goals and strategies in that?
Right now?
That,
or, okay,
well,
yes,
that
was part of our criteria. Everything in the school plan is directly aligned. There's a graduation goal. I mean, action steps, literacy action steps, early literacy action steps, and then additional two social emotional learning action steps and goal, and then one additional one, and everything had to be aligned to Nexus, and then we braided all of the resources. Everything's based upon evidence-based strategies, which is a definite requirement. Within our school plans, we have met every criteria that our State Board of Education has for school improvement. Plans for schools, because we have three schools in that. But what's the most important thing is everything in the school plan directly came back to how is teacher behavior going to be adjusted and play a change to impact student learning, and then how is it going to impact student learning with a measurable target. And then as our cabinet and senior leadership, we're doing site visits, then that we start with the plan. And it's all just integrated. And then our district nexus, we have then looked at the criteria of everything from the state, all of the school plans, and we're merging that. So when we report that to you in October to submit to the state by November 1st, it's all integrated. There's no second plan other than the official full land trust plan. Everything is integrated, and our whole focus is elevating the experiences and the learning for our children.
It really is just going to be powerful.
And we've integrated all funding.
Mm-hmm. And to that point where it's targeted on student learning outcomes,
yeah.
using multiple indicators, we're confident we're going to see, as we follow these plans, make it what's necessary, better outcomes for kids.
And in fact, all of the indicators for every goal, our curriculum team and Adam and our emotional learning team went and looked at their data to see, is that the best level of indicator, or can we do better? Because we wanted to actually have a goal with an indicator that is achievable and will get us to where we need to go as a district. Because in the past, we're going to be very honest, we've had our goals of our strategic plan, but then every single site goal, if we had met every single site goal, we not necessarily would have met our literacy goal or our graduation goal. And this year it is integrated and aligned. So our team made sure with every school site that if they achieve this goal, we will meet or exceed our goals that we have set for ourselves. So it's all aligned.
Yeah.
And did you catch that part? I mean, you could essentially have a Title I plan, you could have a TSSA plan, you could have a land trust plan. Instead of requiring administrators to do three different plans.
And can I address that? Our State Board of Education came to us and they met with me and I showed them our Ovation. I took them through it and they said, are you kidding me? You've integrated everything. Our Title I, our TSSA, our land trust component, and the Title III elements of the EL focus, and our CSI improvements, all of them are in one plan. They were so excited. They go, this is truly the standard. And they said, so I asked the permission, can we submit to you a different version than what you're asking us in all these different areas? Mm-hmm. And they go, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add two things, too? I think instead, you know, in years past, we would kind of redline these and send them back. But Sarah has met individually with each school and gone through and walked through and kind of massaged it even more. So it's not just them getting a paper back saying, I think this is what they meant, or gosh, did I screw up here? But she's actually taken the time to walk through and add additional instructional leadership there. So I think that's
I think I also asked for maybe a mid-year review.
Yes, and that's part of the requirement that you guys approved in the framework.
Yeah.
So we'll give you an annual, but then we'll also give you a mid-year with the way it's set up in Ovation. We can easily give you a report on all the progress and all the focus areas. And kudos to Sarah for spending a lot of time with every school on that. And then we also need to, and I know that Sarah would want us to mention that because it was such a huge task after the first, second, third visit, Adam and Jessica and Tim and Vincent and then Thais and Rhonda, everyone was following up with schools. And then I met with them several times over budgets and doing that. So it was a huge collective effort, but Sarah has spent tremendous hours, so we're appreciative of that. But I think it set the standard with our schools that, like Chad referenced in the past, we just redline it and it was all just compliance. I think we sent a message and modeled that we are in the work with you. You're not in this alone. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you through this process, and it's all about the student learning.
Super. And that concludes my superintendent report.
And next year is going to be all
Siobhan.
Easier.
Yeah, it will be a lot easier.
I believe Siobhan's going to be here.
She has been
kind
of over. Yeah.
So, and then Zane's report. Have any of the committees met?
Yeah.
Budget.
AFF met.
We have policy and law. I think we're not meeting until second Thursday.
On the budget thing, can I bring up something that really,
yeah.
I'm not going to bring up downstairs? And that's been approached on what Glenn received. Since Glenn's here, I'm probably bringing it up here. About some ruling, if they could take some of our land, because our fence is there, and there's a canal. So there's a couple of people wanting to butt up to the fence, but we actually own the canal side of it, but we have the fence on the north side. So that's upgoing. And then also the property heritage down there that passed away. So we'll have to decide at some point what to do with that.
So is the fence there, and then we own some house?
We hold
because remember, a fence becomes the line on some
of the
fence. And you don't want to have that happen.
Property,
okay.
Government. In our case, it doesn't necessarily, the squatter provides some of the fence really what it ends up being is back in
the canal
or whatever. Yeah, we put up a fence that didn't go to our property line because it included the Mill Creek. Long story short, the gentleman that's been living there since the last 81 years has taken and kind of developed that area behind there, put a nice little bridge over it, put a nice bank, really quite a nice rest. But anyway, he's seeking to, who would be interested in feeding over that portion that's on his side of the lot. Yeah. on this side of the fence.
If you go to the regular cutting tomorrow, we could probably walk over there.
Yeah, I guess we can feel sure.
Okay, yeah.
About marriage?
Now it.
So I didn't want to bring that up.
Yeah.
Well, we're gathering more information that came out of that. And also, for this property, by heritage, it was a life estate. So the family that sold us the ground that heritage is still on, we allowed them to stay, the couple in the home until the time of the passing. So they kept on up and the family. That's where it was out. She was just going out and we decided what to do with that. That house, and I guess just over an acre worth of land. At one point, we were discussing back in the day that would be a north access point to Second Street for flow through traffic. That's where we're developing, where we are now on the wall. We have offices. So.
Okay, so then you're going to sign up for public participation.
Again, we'll turn the time over to you about WhatsApp.
Okay. Now I understand that, correct me if I'm wrong, the PFF met yesterday and has already made a decision on which option. Is that correct? Or do I need
decision or by term recommendation? So the committee can make a recommendation to the full board for consideration for discussion.
Okay. So scenario. How would you like me to? What information would you like me to present or proceed with?
I would like, I think we've all talked about this, well, not all of us together, but individually, I think everybody's talked about scenario A. Right. So just talk about the benefit of it and why we're going with it.
And just explain what that
package entails.
I won't even refer to it as option A. I will just say the base bid plus the alternates and just what each of those are. Do you want the dollar amounts broken out for each or just dollar amount for the total?
Yeah, total.
Okay.
Yeah, and at this point, that's not to say.
The same's coming out of Zane's pocket.
No, well, you need to go through scenario 1, 2, 3, 4, that's the plan.
Right.
But if board members have questions about other scenarios, you're more than free to ask those and bring those up. So, but it's to the same point where there is a recommendation from the PFF committee to go to direction and to speak to those points specifically. And then if someone has a question.
One question that I had about the scenarios is that what input have we had from that community for
the parking lot?
Is there a drop-off or something?
So all of those alternates were based on the input that we originally got from them. And so that's why we broke it out, because what we told the community is we can go get the bids, we can get a design. It's not that big of a dollar amount to have a design to add that on to what we're doing, but we will do it as alternates. You guys will then be able to see that it's been designed, and then you guys can choose as a board if you want to do those or not. So that's where all of those alternates came from. It was from those initial meetings where we met with the community and we identified, okay, we can group this alternate together and this one together and this one together. That's what would make sense. Here you go. Here's your menu. What do you want off the menu?
Okay. And they were good with that parking lot.
I can't verify that for everybody,
but I mean
the general concern.
So then, do I even have to turn time over to MK? Chris Karshner will be here.
Okay.
Unless you have a specific question for him or you want
to pick his brain. So just to let you know, Chris is there if you do have some questions about it.
I think he could cover all the
Okay.
And you can
That's totally fine. Do we want to talk, have you talked about the process at all? Or
the bid process?
The order was cut to the chase. We talked about it yesterday.
But I thought we also said it would be useful for the public to have a better understanding of just how much goes into this, that it's not thrown together with some people.
We said those three were here.
I don't know, but
you know what? We have.
But I do think it's useful for that.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to belabor it, but I do think it'd be useful for people to understand just how involved it is.
If there's public there, the public are there.
Remember how they came up and said, thank you for
what
you decided.
Yeah.
We worked really hard to bring
stuff
to the table.
And local. I mean, yeah, so I think those types of issues that would be fantastic. I was thinking of this, like, in terms of how each one of them actually ended up bidding.
Well, that too.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'll have the interest in the project and the confidence in the bid we received, and why we're confident in the bid we received versus otherwise. Right? And one of them was within just, what, a couple thousand dollars?
There was a few that were within $3,000 of each other, when you include the base bid and all of the alternates.
Which is pretty tight bidding, which is hopefully what you would see.
$9.2 million project.
And the fact that the two companies can't talk to each other about their bids,
yeah,
it breaks law, collusion, but in this space, it's looking at real tight. Yeah, so maybe that explains some of the process.
Good. And then you'll also go into the highlights, kitchen remodel.
I can't collect.
It's on the agenda.
It's super basic. I mean,
yeah, pretty much straightforward.
It's all out of child nutrition. It's all federal dollars. Nothing on the.
Do you have any idea of what we'll be looking at for cost?
Because
this is just the architect.
Right. Let me see if I can pull up the estimate really quick.
And then Adam talked about the early literacy plan.
About 500,000 Joyce's.
Oh. Not what I thought it'd be higher. Okay.
She should submit that to the public record.
I know. So please excuse me. He says, no problem. Go enjoy your family. And then people start, where were you at 14? You didn't just show up.
While we're sitting here, I had someone say, your district really needs to recognize Tonks. What's her first name?
Carol.
Carol Tonks. Because it was the business administrator from OPA, which is a business district. Anyway, but she said, I have to work with her a lot with kids going back and forth and all that. And they said, she is delightful on top of it, and she's just fantastic.
Casey's taking notes.
Oh, for like the student records.
And yes, she is phenomenal.
Opening Institute was really good, even though I guess I didn't show up.
Were you there? He
was the one in the audience dropping the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Really well.
I am a better person.
Yeah. I can't wait because all our schools are going to have chat. I know. Share message. No, I don't believe it's filmed. In fact, I think we have.
Skylar got some footage for him.
Yeah, I think we should record those.
Right. Yeah.
Does anybody have the footage of who he is talking about? The
Held the door open. Yeah, he's going to make that available for. Okay.
I think you went to his Instagram and
text on it in all capitals, Ogden.
Yeah, 24
hours.
Yeah,
so it's already
passed.
It was a
24-hour
shuttle.
I mean, maybe
she
slipped. Did the 24-hour
shuttle.
But if someone got it,
that's
then
her reason.
Sure.
No, she just gave
Mr. Green. Well, we'll do it again. Yeah, it was great opening. So we received a lot of feedback from folks that are just energized and really looking forward to starting school year. So, yeah, it was.
I guess you might have used a rubber canister next time. But.
Paula has an idea.
Silicone cups.
Silicone cups for next year.
No kidding. That was hilarious.
And we're going to play on it.
Only could be played off.
I don't know.
When that happened, it made me think of Van Wilden. And I was at a concert.
You never interrupt a dance classroom.
I was at a concert at Van Lomen, and the lady in front of me had a toddler with a bottle, glass bottle. And he was fussy, and I said to her, just believe me, you need to calm him down and get him out. He didn't come down, dropped the bottle, it rolled, she stopped the concert. Linda Visser came over and tapped the lady on the shoulder and said, out. Linda was dressed as a bumblebee. As if it was October.
And if you didn't get a tumbler, please. See Paula.
Hey, can I ask a quick question? I was looking at the early literacy plan, and I was talking to a couple of teachers at the Albany Institute, and they are reading specialists. One of them is. That's what her master's is in, being a reading specialist. And I'm wondering, she said, I have so many good ideas, that's my whole education is, but I'm not able to use it. Hmm. She said, I'm told how I'm supposed to teach reading in the classroom, and I'm an expert on this. I would like to be able to train people on how I was taught, because it works. And she's done it before in Tennessee. So I'm wondering, can we look at reading specialists? And you might even have teachers that already are licensed to be reading specialists. Yeah.
I'd like to get more information on that and see how we can work with Adam and his team to see what ideas she has and let's have the conversation.
Okay. It's two teachers at Albany.
I'd like to investigate what she means by weak television.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not overly prescriptive.
Okay. Well, she said she brought it up, but she hasn't been able to really apply what she wants. Now I don't dare give you her name.
We don't have
right
space
to put
right.
She wasn't accused of rape.
She probably already know who it is.
Yeah. She just said she has really great ideas. She'd like to use them, but she doesn't feel like she's been able to do it to their full extent. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I would
go ahead.
If anything, I want to take advantage of that.
Yeah. She's got her freaking
stuff. At that point, we're not really prescriptive.
No.
Yeah. We have strategies, certainly, that are also evidence-based.
But if she's feeling that way, that is something.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. She worded it much nicer than I just did.
And we have pathways into leadership and training the teacher conditions.
Do you see that she may not be aware of?
Yeah. Well, do you think there'd be a lot of questions about the literacy plan? Mm-hmm. For tonight, or should we move it to consent? Or just say how we came up with the plan, maybe talk about that, Adam.
I think the nature of the plan and its ramifications would warrant public exposure. You'd want the public to know what's kind of the plan and how we're addressing our diversity issues.
And I think to satisfy with the USBEs,
they
do want district board, the LEA board approval, and I think that would be a very appropriate thing to go through the presentation from the plan.
And all of the early literacy goals are within the school plan, and they have the appropriate expected targets. It's all aligned.
I should go, board member Wilkinson, if you wouldn't mind, without saying you heard from specific teachers at specific schools, I will have one of our teacher specialists there, early literacy specialists, and myself.
Yeah.
a question to the public, that, you know, within the public realm, are we controlling our teachers? Are we prescribing exactly what they do? I would love to address that publicly. I don't want to put your hand, but I want our teachers to feel like they're valued as well, and we empower them.
I think it's more that someone feels like at least these two teachers felt like they had some training that they could have gotten that they didn't get, and that they weren't able to use it to the full extent.
Okay. So we're taking out of that. Oh, and I'm just going to mention her real quick, because I mentioned that to Rich, and is Oprah Junior High. It's 100%. So if we see their cell phone, it gets confiscated and gets locked in an administrator's office. And until after school, they can take it. That's on the first offense. After the first offense, their custodial guardian on a fire is the one that has to come and pick it up.
It's not like an understudy.
How was that received by the parents?
What's going on?
I'd like to see a smooth.
And we tell them all what we've been telling them, because we've been kind of building up to this. And so last year it's like, there's no reason. I don't know why we can't have our cell phones in a classroom. And I said, there's no reason for you. We have a phone in every classroom. Several in the office. There is no need for you to have a phone at school.
I saw a recent study where
we just had too many problems.
Where
too many kids doing naughty things.
And I don't remember the size, but anywhere from 6 to 7 hours, some teenagers are on their phones in a day.
How do you get anything else done?
They're distracted.
I heard on a news outlet where a school district had banned cell phones, and it sounded very similar to that. But when they articulated their policy, it was like ours, they can have it during passing time. But it was creating quite a stir. So
I think it would be harder on a high school level, but at the junior high, they're just
in elementary.
We're
providing technology in the elementary,
now it's junior high. Just because we've had too many incidences that are just. Stupid kids doing stupid things and getting in trouble.
Well, let me ask.
Big trouble.
So I kind of started down that path. Is this something that would be the policy and law committee, or would you like to see it go through student achievement, or?
Take a look at either one, right?
Okay.
I think there is room. So Carol Steinman Law, representing Law, looked to run a bill last year. So I see this growing. We've talked about what does it look like for us as in our district, knowing that some teachers have the students use their phone in very productive ways in the classroom. But more often than not, it's a detract and egregious activity.
We came to the consensus that there isn't anything that they could do on their phones that they can't do with their device.
Right.
And they're 1-to-1 this year, so they'll all have their device with them all the time. And no problem. But our policy is not just cell phones, but it's any device that they can access the internet with or take pictures with. So it has a list of all things like Apple Watches. Because they would have kids going in the bathroom and sharing stuff and doing stuff with their Apple Watches. And they can have them in their backpack in their locker.
I talked to one of the PTA presidents, and her thought was, well, we need to teach them instead of just taking them. And I agree. I think there's a balance of if cell phones aren't going away, and, we all use them in our careers, and we want students to be college and career ready. And so I think there's a balance. And, yes, appropriate use, but sometimes junior high
students. Junior high kids just are not mature enough to make wise choices oftentimes. And I know even my own, I have really, really good kids, but even when my kids were in junior high, just some of their brains just do not always work correctly. And you shake your head thinking, what were you thinking?
I heard a great comparison. Automobiles were invented in the early 1900s, and the first, three-harness seatbelt law didn't take effect in Utah until, 1986. So it takes a little while for policies and laws to catch up when things are doing us harm. So I think cell phones might be in that same.
Well, and then they have that study of even just having a cell phone just if they know that their cell phone is near them, it affects the way they pay attention and the way that they can learn. That was pretty eye-opening. I thought, wow. And I thought, that's true. That's the way it is for me.
Well, I spent a combination of 8 days either camping or on a trek with youth without cell phones, and the conversations were beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I think there's something
to look at. Let's discuss some policy and law.
Jerry?
Yeah.
It is an ongoing
issue.
Well, and I know some of the teachers that get so frustrated with it.